for homecoming when I realized some connections. I'd always known that the name Bethel meant house of God, and where that came from in the Old Testament, which is the story I read to you this morning. But there's some other things that I found out as I was doing some research on talking about Bethel and what it meant for us to be Bethel United Methodist Church. For them to have chosen the name Bethel for this church and for us to think about what it means for us to be Bethel today. Certainly, Jacob's encounter at that place was a very dramatic encounter with God. God was present. Angels were ascending and descending from heaven. Something that he never wanted to forget. Something that both amazed him and scared him to death. And as a memory, as a marker of that incredible encounter in his life, Jacob set up a monument. Really what he did was he propped up the rock he had been using for a pillow. He anointed it with oil, oil being a very precious substance, as a way of saying, this indeed is a sacred place. If I encounter God here, this must be the very gate of heaven. This must be the house of God. And so he named it Bethel, house of God. I think there are many people who have had dramatic encounters with God here at this location. As you spoke with Thelma and Beulah, I'm sure, over the years, they told you about many things that happened on this property. Many times when God came through for them and for this church and for people in this church in dramatic ways. As I have listened to some of the people here, I know that many of you in your life have encountered God. And some of you have encountered God in this holy place. But remembering Bethel as the house of God is not just something we remember had happened. It is not simply a memorial, a place where dramatic events in the life of people have been touched by God in the past. If you talk to people who continue to worship here, you will find that many of them will tell you that this continues to be a place where they continue to encounter God. It's holy ground. It's a sacred place. It's a place they can come and remember all that God has done in the past, all that God is doing in the present, and they can be assured of God's continued presence in their life in the future. And as life gets busy and hectic and we come and we go, it's very easy for God to get crowded out of that. And so you can see why a church, a place that we can call the house of God, will be very important as a place to remember what God has done, what God is doing, and what God will do. But to call this church the house of God is, there's a side of that I think we also need to look at. In the particular version of scripture I read to you from the CEV, Jacob says, you know, after God makes this profound promise of assurance of presence in his life and assurance of being with him in all things and bringing him back to this place, Jacob is now going to make a promise to God. And, you know, Jacob is a very interesting character. I think he's one of my favorite characters of the Old Testament, my least favorite characters of the Old Testament, because he's such a scoundrel. And he's so much fun because he's so human. God makes this profound promise to Jacob, and Jacob comes back and says, okay, now I've got a promise for you. Now, can you imagine going to God after God's made this incredible promise to you and say, now if you actually do all these things, you know, then you can be my God. And you can live in this rock. This can be your house. I'm like, you know, I think God can do a little better than the little rock that Jacob sets up and pours oil over. And I think that regardless of Jacob's promises back, God was certainly going to be faithful to his promises and stay in his life. And so it's something important that we have a place that draws us back and reminds us of what God has done, is doing, and will do. But I think it's also important that we not get too big for our britches, like Jacob has a constant habit of doing, and think that God literally is confined to that rock, or that God, or that spot that he encountered God. We remember that God went with him, that God goes with us. And so as we think about this building and this property and this space and all that has happened here, it's also important that we remember God isn't confined by this. This is for our benefit, so that we can come out, remember, be reminded, take some special time away. But God's activity is not limited to this place. In fact, there's a very interesting scripture that I never quite took this way until working on this sermon. It's in John, and you will find it on New Testament page 92, if you'd like to look it up. It's John chapter 1, and it's where Jesus is calling the disciples, and he calls two disciples. The first is Philip, and he asks Philip to follow him. Well, then Philip goes and gets Nathanael, and he finds Nathanael under a fig tree, and he says, "Come, I think we found the Messiah. Come and see." And so Nathanael comes after saying some things like, "What good can come out of Nazareth?" and some of those other famous sayings from this. He comes and meets Jesus, and Jesus says, "Ah, here is a man in which there is no guile." And Nathanael is a bit stumped and says, "You know, how do you even know who I am?" He says, "I saw you under the fig tree," which means he also heard what he said. "What good can come out of Nazareth?" And Nathanael is astounded. He's astounded, and he says, "You truly must be the Son of God. You truly must be the Messiah that we've been waiting for." And this is what Jesus says. He says, "You think that's impressive? You are going to see even greater things. You are going to see heaven open, and you are going to see heaven ascend and descend on the Son of Man." That's the same imagery as the Jacob ladder that we find in Bethel. The ascending and descending of heaven, not just in a place, but now in a person. That encounter with God does not just happen in a sacred spot. We don't just come to Bethel because this is a sacred place for us, but we come here because we know a sacred person, Jesus Christ. And we can have encounter with God through Jesus Christ. And you think about the way in which Jesus went through the world as a sacred person. Everything he touched, everything he encountered, everything he was a part of, he made sacred by the fact that God was encountered there. Now just think how profound that is. We have always looked at the cross. My entire life I've looked at the cross, and I have thought of a sacred object. I have thought of what Christ did for me, and that has been a sacred image in my mind. But it wasn't for those people when Jesus was crucified. Jesus touched the cross. His life touched the cross, and he made something that is really more like the Iron Maiden, or the rack, or the electric chair, sacred. It's just unfathomable to think that God encountered us in Jesus Christ, and that Jesus Christ, encountering the world, made places sacred that we would have never thought. But more than that, Jesus said of us that he and the Father would come dwell in us, if that's what we wanted. That he would send the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit would dwell in us. The house of God goes in the Old Testament from being a place of encounter with God to the New Testament being a person in which we encounter God, to go into the unfathomable. We become Bethel, house of God, God willing and able to dwell in us. And then where we go and what we touch, we can take that sacredness with us. And that all we will forever need sacred places to come away, to remember, to worship. Because life gets so hectic and so busy out there, and can help us forget how special we are. Help us forget how special God is. Help us forget what's happened in the past till it's just a distant, fading memory. That we will always need to come together as the body of Christ in places that are sacred, like Bethel Church, and be the people of God in the house of God. But when we leave, we must remember that God goes with us, that God dwells in us, and that that house of God, that sacred place, is us. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, that we are the temple of God. Another way of saying, you're Bethel. You, me, we are Bethel, the house of God. And what we touch and what we do and where we go, we take the sacred Lord with us. We can make our offices, our schools, our communities, our prisons, our courtrooms. We can make them sacred places that honor and worship God in our hearts. And in doing so, we can touch them in ways that are unimaginable.